PR 2019-2811, preliminary final plat, SD 2019-158 for Richard Chavez at 15th Street Northwest and Granite Avenue. Mr. Chavez, are you here? Okay. Let me call one more time. We've got one phone number.
Madam Chair, I think he is that 934 number. He looks muted.
Okay.
Let's see if we can.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I'll just note that Mr. Chavez was in communication with me this morning before the meeting, and I gave him the invitation information. So hopefully that's him.
Hello.
Oh, there he is.
Hello. Yes.
Excellent. Is that Mr. Chavez?
I'm here.
All right. Okay. Why don't you just introduce yourself and give us your address?
My name is Richard Chavez. My address is 906 15th Street Northwest. I do swear to tell the truth.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any comments to start out with?
I have some questions to begin with, and then a comment, or actually a fairly long comment. But a couple questions I have. The first question is, how does the mechanics of my plat actually get to the county to get registered and recorded? Hello?
Ms. Gould?
Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. So either you or your surveyor will need to take it to the county, and I can email you the county, the contact information, but you have to submit it to the county. The county approves it. You get it back and you give us a copy as well.
So what about the signatures that are required from your part?
So we will do those after the meeting. It will be signed electronically, and then it will go back to you once all of us have signed it.
Okay.
So once it has all of the board signatures and all of the other required signatures, then it's free to go to the county.
And that's all done electronically.
I will get you the contact information to check in on the county, because I know the county has gone back and forth, and I'm not sure where they are right now. I know they were doing like a hybrid at one point. At one point, they were requiring hard copies. So,
okay, I got it. I'll figure that out once you get me that information. Thank you. So my next question, I'm kind of curious as to why the access design for the corner is designed as it is, because according to my contractor that installed the sidewalk, that design added about 25% to my cost. Now, when you compare the design that I'm dealing with on my corner to the museum or Tigre Park, it doesn't have that same design. And I'm kind of curious as to why that design, first question is, was it required by OSHA? And the second question is, why wasn't the design at the museum and Tigre Park for the corner access usable on my corner? Because, I mean, the volume of pedestrian traffic that they're dealing with is probably 1,000 times more than what I have to deal with. And so my question is, why was that design changed from what's being utilized at the museum and Tigre Park?
Okay, do you have any other introductions to your case, Mr. Chavez?
No, just the questions.
Okay. We'll get to that as we go through DRB comments, and we're going to start first with Water Authority.
Hello, this is Chris Gannon with the Water Authority. Mr. Chavez, as we spoke about a year ago, you had indicated that you'd put together a draft shared maintenance agreement, and that needs to be signed, recorded, and referenced on the plat prior to approval. Thank you.
Let's deal with code enforcement.
Just one second. Mr. Chavez, can you respond to that request?
Oh, yes, you bet. I will take care of that with the when I submit my plat to the county.
I I think what we're saying is that needs to be done before Mr. Cadena can sign your plat.
Well, I've already turned in the draft sewer agreement to you folks. You already have that. So I'm not sure what you're asking for.
Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. So as previously stated in previous comments, the intent was for you to have that agreement executed and then recorded with the county such that you can get that recording information for that particular document and populate that and reference it on this plat. So the plat tells the story as it's able to reference the other recorded document.
Okay, so you thoroughly confused me. So who's supposed to sign it? I mean, are you talking about the potential new property owner should have that signed? Is that what you're saying?
The owner of my house. Richard, this is Chris Dan with the Water Authority. You are the property owner, so it would almost be yourself signing it with yourself, correct?
For right now, yes, that would be correct for right now. But
this is Chris Dana with the Water Authority. So that's all that's being asked is the current property owner of the two separate proposed tracts or lots enters that agreement and then you record it so that you put the world on notice. And then the recording information is populated on this plat. So subsequent readers of the plat are able to understand that there is another document that is in place. Thank you.
Okay.
And Mr. Cadena, could you take delegation on that item?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, yes.
Okay. Code enforcement?
Code enforcement reviewed this project and has no comments or objections at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Parks and Recreation?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. No comments or no objection to the request.
Hydrology.
Mr. Mayo, hydrology, no objection.
Thank you. Transportation.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Transportation has reviewed the construction and has no objection to the action. Everything's in place. The fence was relocated, assuming that there's a fence permit. The fence location looks good. All ramps and driveways and sidewalk are built. According to DMDs, what DMD will need for the project in that area. So it meets all the specs and requirements for that project, and it meets the ADA requirements. So again, transportation has no objection.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chavez, did that answer your question earlier?
No, ma'am, it did not, but that's fine. That's irrelevant at this point in time, but I do have a question. She stated that it meets ADA requirements through the project. But here's a serious problem that you have, that I have, that you've given me. In the alleyway between the, on the east side, to my neighbor to the east of me, that alleyway is an impediment from anybody trying to get from my sidewalk to my neighbor's sidewalk on the east side. It would be impossible for a wheelchair to be able to navigate or traverse the alleyway from my sidewalk to the neighbors on the sidewalk east of me, which is the neighbor and sidewalk that was used to justify me forcing me to put in sidewalk. So now I have a sidewalk that does not connect to the east, to the neighbor, to the east of me in any form or shape. So basically somebody coming along on the sidewalk, on the granite side heading east will have to get off at my driveway and proceed down the street. And at some point in time, choose to get back on the east, on the sidewalk east of me. So what you folks did not address that problem. And in fact, you created a tripping hazard for me on that end of the sidewalk. Because when you, there's no egress off that sidewalk into the alleyway, and there's no access to the next sidewalk from the alleyway. So you created a serious liability issue for me because if somebody in a wheelchair is trying to proceed easterly on my sidewalk to get past the sidewalk, if they're not aware or if it's dark, that wheelchair is going to take a tumble. That's one problem I have. The second problem, or the second liability that you saddle me with, is snow removal. I now have 242 feet by 5 feet of sidewalk that I have to remove. That was never an issue for me. It's not an issue for any of my neighbors going to the north of me. You've created, and I have one other question because I'm trying to understand if this is true or not. There is a curbing lip on the side of the driveway pad on both driveways, and according to Gene, that's part of code. But I'm wondering, somebody was telling me, and I want to know if this is true, is that there to prevent people from parking up on the sidewalk? Is that the purpose of those of that curb on the sides of the driveway pad?
Ms. Wolfenbarger?
This is Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation. The design of the driveways was for two reasons. It meets the specs, you know, and one of the purpose was to have an ADA compliant driveway, which is at a 2% maximum slope. And the other portion, that's the steeper part of the driveway, is to serve as a water block to keep drainage from going into the property.
Well, that's very interesting because part of my drainage plan, as required by the city engineer, was to drain water out of the property. But here's the bigger problem that I have with that little design. If you're not paying attention and you're walking along that curbing, you're going to trip over that design because it's a curb that's off to the side of the sidewalk that if you're not paying attention or if it's dark, you're not going to be aware that that's there. Now, what I try to do to mitigate that is fill in that area with dirt so that there's no tripping hazard going into the driveway pad. But the problem that creates is now I have about a six inch differentiation from that curb to the actual driveway pad. So if somebody's walking along on the side by the dirt, they come to that portion, they're not going to trip. But what's going to happen is they're going to take a steep step down, and if they don't, and if they lose their balance when they step down, they're going to be planting their face probably into the opposite curbing. So again, you know, I understand your attempt at what you're trying to do, but I was initially told that I was supposed to design water to leave the property. That's what I was told initially. And so I find it interesting that this is to keep water in the property. And in addition, you created a tripping hazard for anybody that's walking off to the side of the sidewalk. So, you know, for the cost of $19,480, which is what it cost me to install this sidewalk for you folks, okay, I have a sidewalk that literally goes nowhere on my north end. On my east end, it can't access the neighbor's sidewalk across the alley because it's not traversable. I've incurred three new personal property liability issues now that I have to deal with by threefold that I've never had to be concerned with before. And it's extremely frustrating because you have no plan in the immediate future to install sidewalk to the north of me. You have no plan to fix the alley to the east of me to fix. So I have a sidewalk island that looks great, very functional, but I'm the only one on my street for two sides of the street that has this. Now, my understanding is in the next year or two, there's currently an engineering study that's Councilman Benton is conducting along Granite. So realistically, in 1 to 2 years, there's going to be sidewalk installed along Granite, which means my neighbors are going to get all their sidewalk installed for free, whereas I had to pay for my sidewalk. Now, you folks have held this request to adjust my lot line up for 15 months, okay? Now, I and this is the last that I will say, and you can go from here, but you know, what I've experienced as a property taxpayer, I pay $6,800 in property taxes. I contribute to the capital improvement tax program. And from neither of those have I benefited at all as far as a sidewalk is concerned. You held up my request for 15 months so that I, unable to sell my property, unable to split it so I could sell it for 15 months. Normally, if you weren't a legal entity of a government entity, this would be called extortion, because basically you forced me to put in a sidewalk at all cost, my cost, and you held it up until you got your sidewalk in place. With that, I will leave it at that and hope for your approval on the sidewalk. Thank you.
Ms. Wolfenberger, do you have anything you'd like to respond?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. We've inspected the sidewalk. The sidewalk, it lines up and is flush with the alleyway curb on the east, and it was not our intent to require anything of the property owner beyond that point, because at some point the DMD project will come in and they'll redo some of the paving in that alleyway and further make the whole area accessible. So anyways, the sidewalk is flush with the curb there at that alleyway. And that was the limit of the requirements for the project. If there is issues with the contractor not backfilling, you know, beside the drive pad, you're welcome to contact your contractor about that to resolve those issues. But the ADA path is clean from one side of the property to the other.
So
okay, thank you, Ms. Wolfenberger. If you can be quick, Mr. Chavez.
Yes, I can. So the contractor did an excellent job. He backfilled all of the sidewalks so that there's no drop off from the sidewalk to the dirt surface. The question I had, again, was that, you know, originally I was supposed to design flow to leave the yard. And what you're saying is that the design is to maintain the flow in the yard. If I'm stating that incorrectly, please say so. But that's not my issue. The drainage isn't the issue. The issue is the tripping hazard that has been created by those side curbs on the driveway pad. That's my concern, because it is the tripping hazard now. And so that's going to be a potential liability that I'm going to have to deal with going forward.
So this is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. This is a specific design that's per the city spec standards for ADA driveways that are next to the curb. So this is not anything that's outside of city spec. Plus, the water blocks, you know, created by the driveways are in place also per city spec. They don't necessarily prevent drainage from going out, but it helps the drainage in the street go to the inlets.
So this is Richard. Just last question, very last question. Are those requirements OSHA requirements?
OSHA requirements. They meet DPM standards, more specifically, and city spec standards. That's what they're there for.
So Richard Chavez, I'm sorry, last time. So basically what I'm seeing is over engineering.
Okay, let's go to planning comments.
This is Maggie Gould. Planning has no objection to the request.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I just want to add, Maggie, do we want, I mean, the copy of the plat we have, we'll need to get utility and AMAFCA signatures. And
right.
The project and application numbers, as well as the DXF approval email from AGIS, right?
Yes. So all of those, we have no objection to the request, but the plat does have to meet all of the standards of a regular plat.
And I just want to add, this is Jay Rodenbeck, I just want to add too that the digital copy of the plat we have, we'll need to have updated with the owner's signature as well as the city surveyor's signature. And Maggie, I'm bringing this up too because We have a physical copy of the plat in the office because this case is, you know, was last heard before the pandemic. With that information, would we want the applicant to provide a copy of the plat with the city surveyor and owner information, or do we want to just go ahead and scan a copy of the plat and get that information out to Mr. Chavez for him to get the utility and map his signatures?
This is Maggie Gould. I'm not sure we have scanning capability right now. Let me see if Ernie or somebody else in the office can answer that, or if Ms. Wolfenbarger has an answer to that as well. I know that our side of the office doesn't have scanning capability.
Hello.
This is Richard.
This is a complex question. I know that's probably not what you want to hear, but I think at this point,
I'm sorry. Mr. Chavez, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'd be happy to provide a brand new plat, a redrawn plat with a new fence line, if that would help.
Yes, we've kind of moved into the digital age here for the plats and the signing of the plats. So if your surveyor is able to work with us that way, it's going to be a lot faster and smoother, Mr. Chavez.
Who is this supposed to go to then? Who would be my contact? Okay.
Mr. Rodenbeck.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm the one who routes into the DRB members for e-signatures. They're electronically signed nowadays.
I will get that to you, Jay, then.
Thank you.
Yeah, so before you would send it to Mr. Rodenbeck, you would want to have, like he was mentioning, the owner's signature, the city surveyor's signature, all of your utility signatures, and then send that PDF to Mr. Rodenbeck, and he will route it through the DRB members. And that's the fastest way to get it done.
So this is Richard Chavez again. In getting the utility signatures, do I just go to each utility, and how do I go about getting their signature?
Your surveyor may have some experience with this. We also, I think, have a list compiled of the contacts for those different signatures.
I could get that list from you. I would appreciate that, of the contacts. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chavez, I just want to point out, so it's clear that when you first came in for approval, you wanted to waive the sidewalk, and the DRB members said that they could not approve that, and then you went through a series of appeals, and that is what delayed your application.
This is, if you recall, when I asked for the initial waiver, your department had not cleaned up the language from the amendment that the council had approved. This was like 5 months later. You didn't even address the changes by the council until January. So, yeah, okay. I did delay it because I did request appeals, but this is also on your part also.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and then we're going to take a vote on this. I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the application. If you're accepting delegation, please summarize that delegation and the time needed. Mr. Cadena.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, approve a delegation for the signed and recorded and referenced shared maintenance agreement.
Garcia with code enforcement. I approve.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I approve.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with transportation. I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB chair, approves with delegation for to make sure that the owner and city surveyor signatures are replaced, that all the utility and the MAFCA signatures are obtained, that the project and application number is on the plat, and that we have an AGIS DXF file submitted. And that will be for 12 weeks.
I'm sorry, what is the 12 weeks for? Richard Chavez again?
That's more of a timeline just for us to watch out that you can have your delegation items complete.
Okay, thank you. One last thing, I would, this is Richard.
And can I just finish the approval? I'm in the middle of doing our official approval. So let me finish that and then I can have one more question. There is a consensus vote to approve item 11, project 2019-28, 11 SD 2019-158 preliminary final plat, because the application meets all the applicable requirements of IDO and DPM, with delegation to Water Authority and planning for 12 weeks to address the issues just stated. Okay, one question, Mr. Chavez.
It's not really a question. I just want to thank Jean Wolfenbarger for her help. I very much appreciated it. It was very difficult going through this process, and I appreciate the patience that she showed with me, because this was extremely upsetting on my part, and she was very patient with me and guiding me through this process. So I want to thank her and let her know I appreciate her help. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chavez. That was very nice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. We are on sketch plats. Item number 12 is PR 2020.